Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We head out to the hotline right now. I'm welcoming a man that will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame one day. Registered close to 140 sacks in his career as a 9-time Pro Bowler, a 4-time first-team All-Pro, and also a Super Bowl champion, did win Super Bowl 50 with the Denver Broncos, and of course started his career out and played for a long time with the Dallas Cowboys. That is the 11th overall pick in the 2005 NFL Draft out of Troy, and he's DeMarcus Ware, kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on CBS Sports Radio. DeMarcus, thanks for the time, and how you been?
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys just made the hotline real hot by that introduction that you just gave me.
Well, it's all true. You're going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer one day. Has that at all sunk in that you'll eventually get that call to Canton one day, or do you not think about it because it's out of your control now?
You know what? It's out of my control right now. I feel like I put the work in and did what I needed to do on the football field, but now I just do what I can to serve and to help people out and enjoy retirement. So.
In retirement, and you're only 37, I know you just celebrated a birthday, so happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
How has life been adjusting? I know you had a few years now. You finished up your career in 2016. What have you been up to in retirement?
You know, it's been great, man, and I finally found my second passion, and that's in fitness. And I've been really building programs for the last 2 years that I'll launch, you know, soon coming up, and just using all the things that I went through over the years, the recovery stuff I had to do, the strict diet program, the performance stuff, all the way down to, like, the stability muscular stuff that I had to do to keep myself on the football field. And I feel like now that I can affect not only just the people that are in the stadium, but the people outside of the stadium, because now it's a bigger epidemic when it comes to fitness. And I can be their captain now, which is in my gym. And it's just great, man, now finding something else to do and still being able to lead.
How much have you made that connection with players that are currently in the league? Because you know how it is. You go into the league, you're 22, 23 years old. You think you're invincible. You think your career is going to last forever. But sometimes you lose sight of taking care of your body. So what do you try to stress to some of the younger guys in the NFL currently?
You know, the thing is, the earlier they can start taking care of their body, the longer their careers will be. Because, you know, in the NFL, it stands for not for long, and it's probably like a 3-year span to where you got to build your body up for the tolerance of being hit, the tolerance of just playing a brute gladiator sport. And I tell those young guys when they come to me and they come to train, you got to build stability before you go all the way to the power, right? And they actually start understanding that, and they come to me and they say, DeMarcus, I can't believe that. It's not all about athleticism anymore. It's about the science of taking care of your body. And I'm actually performing at a higher level than I did in college or at a higher level than I did the last year. And that's when it really clicks in those guys' heads.
Well, I'm down 30 pounds right now. I played a little football in high school. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. You lose the first 30. Now you try to lose the next 30, and it's a little bit tougher. So if someone's maybe not trying to lose 30 pounds, but let's say 15, they're listening right now because everyone wants to lose weight and look better, especially with how hot the weather is right now. What advice do you give them, DeMarcus?
You know, the thing is, just like you said, you lost 30, and now you sort of hit that plateau. You got to go back to where you started at. And it's like you got to go through the phases of, you know, stability first, and then you got to go, you know, to endurance, hypertrophy, to building your strength, and then in power. And once you get to that point, now you got to start all back over again and go back to that stability phase. And that's what a lot of people don't want to do. They don't want to go backwards to go forwards, but that's what you have to also do in life. So when the people that just want to lose 15, I would recommend that they do more interval, more anaerobic, aerobic to anaerobic workouts and do more circuit training, because that's when you really get in those fat burning phases and you'll lose it really quick.
DeMarcus Ware here with us on CBS Sports Radio, the future Pro Football Hall of Famer. Had almost 140 sacks in his career between the Cowboys and the Broncos on CBS Sports Radio on the Zach Gelb Show. Let me just, before we get into some happenings around the NFL's ready to kick off another season, I just want to reflect a little bit about your journey, because we all know you as the football player with the Cowboys and the Broncos, but a lot was put into that journey. It's remarkable how you were a top 15 draft pick coming out of Troy, and I know Troy's produced some solid football players, as you know, but how are you so under-recruited? How did you wind up at Troy? Because we see your NFL career, and people would think, hey, you probably went to an Alabama, probably went to a Notre Dame, or an LSU, a Miami, one of those bigger programs.
You know, the thing is, I was a late bloomer. I played wide receiver in high school, and you know, football really wasn't my first passion. I played baseball, and I hurt myself playing baseball and then started playing football. And I got an opportunity, one scholarship from Troy University, and I blossomed when I hit the football field because I started figuring out how to really take care of myself, how to now make my body perform in a way to where I didn't think about it because I didn't have those types of, you know, $100 million programs or these awesome strength coaches that tell me what to do in high school. And that's why I do what I do right now is I want to give back and show these kids, show even like adults like us, how we should work out, what we should do. And get back to that point, you get overlooked sometimes because you're a late bloomer. And that's the reason why now I tell a lot of the kids, it's not really where you start at, it's where you finish. And I finish, you know, at the top.
If I told you when you were at Troy that you would go on to play over a decade in the National Football League, win a Super Bowl, and make almost 10 Pro Bowls, what would you have told me at the time when you were at Troy?
Oh, so, you know, give me a Snickers bar and a Twix, and I'm going to go home, because that wouldn't be happening right now. Because I started off, man, a six-round draft pick and went to the Senior Bowl, got a starting position there, and then went to the Combine and tested out really well, and ended up being drafted by the Dallas Cowboys with Parcells and Jerry Jones. And that was like one of those things where that was like the dream team, right? You always want to wear the star, but I got an opportunity to etch my name in the star history. And that's just that awesome feeling that, you know, I feel right now when you start talking about, you know, just the opportunities that I've had.
Are you a believer in Jason Garrett? Do you think he's the right man to be coaching the Cowboys? Because his contract's up at the end of the year.
I think he's the right man. I you know, known his dad, and you know, rest in peace to his dad, and also, you know, Jason Garrett. I mean, he comes from just a lineage of being able to motivate guys, how to teach guys, but also he had the right team. And just talking about the personnel, think about the linebacking for the Dallas Cowboys. You got Jalen Smith, right? Just signed a big contract. Sean Lee, Van Der Esch. You got a defensive line with Law back now from the shoulder injury. You got a cornerback core without Ryan Jones, and they're balling and they're young. I'm just talking from a defensive standpoint. And then you still got Captain America there. You still got Jason Witten and Travis Frederick back. So all of these names and talent, you have that there, and you can win that championship, and you have an awesome coach too, an owner. So they have the opportunity. It's like, do they really want it or not?
And you also wonder if the contracts are going to get in the way, because Zeke is holding out right now. He's up in 2 years. Dak and Amari are showing up to training camp and have been involved with the team, but their contracts are up at the end of the season. Do you think these contracts get in the way? How do you evaluate all three of these contracts right now?
I think if you're under contract, you play your contract out. And it only helps you if you go out there and prove a point when you're at a low dollar amount of who you are. And once that contract is over, guess what? Everybody wants me. And that's how I did it when I was there. I played my last year of my contract. I don't know. Maybe it was $1 million. I don't remember. But I played that last year of my contract, and I didn't ask for money because I knew I was going to go out there and play and perform and prove to everyone who I was. And then I got a big contract with the Dallas Cowboys. And I feel like that's what those guys need to do. No matter what, I signed a contract. I'm going to own up to that contract. But when it's done and it's over, then you come talk to me because I did what I needed to do. And then the agents and the owners talk and hash everything out. But I don't let anything like that really take the focus off of my season.
It's really a tricky situation because you mentioned the plethora of names of the talent that this team has, and there's so many young guys, and they're going to all be looking for new contracts. Steven and Jerry Jones both said they're not going to be market setters. It gets tough, especially when you talk about Zeke, because there's an argument that Zeke should be the preeminent running back in football, and Dak's had success. I don't think Dak is great. I think he's good. But, you know, I don't know how you could give Dak $35 million, but you can't let him walk. So these contracts, they're tricky because if you pay too much to one person, you're going to have to sacrifice somebody else on the roster, as you know.
And that's what's so hard when you start having a salary cap, not like baseball. And that's what the collective bargaining agreement is for. I mean, it's about to come up right now with the lockout. And so that's something that could maybe be talked about to where now these owners can go out and they can pay the players even more than just having a cap, just like baseball, or having even more guaranteed money. Because they owe me $16 million the last year, and I had to get released because they couldn't pay me. But that's part of the business. And when you're talking about Jerry Jones don't want to be a market setter, I feel like he's going to be a trendsetter, meaning that, I mean, he owns one of the most popular, the most marketed teams ever in the whole world. And so he's going to set a trend and say, hey, I'm going to do what I need to do to get these guys paid and make sure everybody's happy, but I'm not going to tarnish what the whole team is about. And like you just said, you can't pay everybody. So somebody could end up getting released. That's part of the business.
How do you view Dak as a quarterback?
You know what? I look at Dak as one of those guys where he is, everything has to evolve around that. If he's the son, guess what? Everything evolves around that. And he's the quarterback of the team, and that's what people need to see. From the run game, if Zeke is there or not, from the passing game, is with Amari Cooper and, you know, the plethora of other guys that they have, they got to center everything around Dak. And talent-wise, he has all the talent that a quarterback needs to take him to a championship. But the thing is, they don't give him enough credit. A lot of people don't give him enough credit. But that's okay. So that's why I tell Dak all the time, you go out there and prove to people who you are every single day. Because a bullet is always out there and trying to hit the target when you are the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, but you got to make sure that you dodge it every time.
So do you think the Cowboys' approach is wrong right now with how they coach it up? Because when I watch the Cowboys, I think of the defense and the run game first, and then I don't think about Dak really until the fourth quarter when he has to make a big throw, because it seems very much when you watch that team, it's centered around Zeke and that defense.
You know what? I think that when you talk about Jason Garrett's offense, it's a run-first offense. And that is a steak and potatoes offense, meaning that it has to be very, very strong no matter what. And it's predicated a lot on the play action. That's how Dak gets those big plays down the field. But defensively, with Marinelli, with playing on Marinelli's defense, they are like, it's like we are the face of the team when I played for him. And that's the way it is right now. And I feel like that's how it's going to stay. Defense first, make sure we run the football and we control the clock, and we're going to beat you deep when you think that we're not going to throw the football.
I know you're a Cowboy, but you were at Eagles training camp this year, I think for a day, doing some work with the NFL Network. Do you go Eagles or Cowboys right now? Who do you think is the better team to win this division? Because it's a two-team race to me.
I think it's a two-team race, and I think that it's going to all go down to the fourth quarter, which quarterback plays best in the fourth quarter. I mean, I was up there with Fletcher Cox with NFL 100, and I was one of the guys that he wanted to come up there to, you know, teach him some skills, and a guy that he looked up to, and it was an awesome opportunity to go there and chat with him. I mean, a great fan of mine, and there are two great teams, two great defenses, but it falls on the offense's hands in the fourth quarter and who's going to want the game. I mean, no matter what, I'm going to beat the Dallas Cowboys, but, you know, they're two great teams.
Was that odd for you going into the Eagles territory?
Oh, my God. I walked in there because, you know, in Eagles land.
I lived there for 7 years. I just moved back to New York, but I lived there for 7 years.
their fans are real. And I remember every single time we played there, it was a battle. And it was great, though. And when I walked into their training camp, and everybody knew exactly who I was. They were like, oh, there's DeMarcus. I'm like, oh, holy crap. Like, do I need to run? Like, what's the deal? But it almost brought back those old memories of that rivalry, Philadelphia Eagles NFC East game. And it was just crazy to still have that feeling and that fire, even though your mind is not feeling it, your body automatically starts clicking and still wanting it.
I actually saw a picture of you on Facebook with a local media member, and all the comments were, how can you take a picture with DeMarcus Ware? He's the enemy. That's what I saw on Facebook.
You know, no matter what, man, fans are going to be fans, but I'm glad the fans out there, they support me. If I had to call on one, I know they would come up there and protect me while I was up there in Philly, but it was fun to be up there.
And they take you on their team in a second because they do respect great players, and you were a great player. Talking to DeMarcus Ware. Before we let you run, the Broncos, Joe Flacco, now the quarterback, Elway taking another opportunity, another chance with a quarterback, hasn't worked out, trying to find a replacement for Peyton Manning. You have a defense that all starts with Miller and Chubb, and you know Miller very well. Do you think the Broncos will be improved this year?
I think they will be a lot improved because of the changes that they've had with, you know, Vic Fangio coming in and really knowing how to use the athleticism of all the guys on the defense, with Vaughn and Chubb, just to name a few, and then having Chris Harris back, him being a captain on that defense. It's just going to be really, really awesome to see how he transforms that defense. From now, they're usually playing like, you know, whatever, a 4-3 defense on third and fourth down. Now they're playing that on first down to keep Vaughn and Chubb out there rushing the passer. And that shows how versatile that, you know, Vic can be. But then once you go over to the offensive side, you start looking at all the changes that they had on the offensive line because they told themselves that they had problems there last year. They went and got a great right tackle, right? They still have Bowles, and they got, you know, great interior guys now. And I feel like that's really was that missing piece that they had. I know they had a lot of injuries last week, especially with their second-round draft pick quarterback, but they got a nice tight end. They got two awesome running backs because, you know, they're that run-and-gun type offense up there. And they got a quarterback that can actually control the game with Flacco. So I think that, you know, they're going to be well improved this season.
Now, last one. We buttered you up in the beginning with the very kind introduction as we're talking to DeMarcus Ware. Now we give you the hard-hitting question. 30-second answer. Who's your Super Bowl matchup this year? Who are the two teams you're rolling with?
You know, my two teams I'm rolling with, I would say the Rams and the Chiefs.
So you think this is the year for Andy Reid, maybe?
I think this is the year for Andy Reid. I would say the Chiefs and the Rams. The Rams or the Saints?
Yeah, the Saints. They would be deserving.
One of those two teams.
Saints would be deserving after the last 2 years. There's no doubt about it.
Hey,
DeMarcus, it's been a whole lot of fun. We do appreciate the time. It was awesome to watch you play and great to catch up with you today. Thanks for making a few minutes for us.
All right, thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.